The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
But remember, we'll always see you in the shadows.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I am not Rebecca.
And I think I'm Bill.
You think you are?
Well, if you're not Rebecca, I don't know who I am anymore. Happy Monday.
Hey.
Hey.
The part of Rebecca tonight will be played by Bea Arthur.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she was a hoot.
Yeah, well, at least if you're going to have somebody, you might as well have somebody funny, right?
That's right. Yes, I'm sorry you're feeling a little bit under the weather.
I'm fine.
But 'tis the season.
To be jolly?
Yeah, or something like that, right?
Sure.
So, what the heck was that? Man, I just got some sensational feedback. Cool.
I cranked your butt up.
Yeah, about time. Somebody needs to crank my butt up.
Wait, what?
What? Today is Monday, April 26th in the year 2021.
Are you sure?
Yeah, so I've been told. Anyway, there's some... I usually do these days of the week thing, which most of you probably know who are listening to us on the Para-X Radio Network, which you should be in the chat room right now and joining in and having some fun with us. But it is National Audubon Day. There's a town called Audubon not too far from me. Yeah. I'm sure it has a meaning. This one, I said to Rebecca earlier, National Dissertation Day.
Woo! So,
yay. That sounds like fun.
Bring so, on them PhDs.
Yay. National Help a Horse Day.
Wait, help them do what?
I don't know, but you're supposed to help them. So if you see a horse in need, help them out.
I can't tell you the last time I saw a horse. Well, actually, that's not true. My kids went on a pony ride on Saturday, so.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Could be a rocking horse. I don't know. National Pretzel Day. We'll do the food one.
Oh, I love pretzels.
And to our friends in South Dakota, it is your day. So happy National South Dakota Day.
Happy so, day.
Pretty much we had some lame days of the day today. But tomorrow, tomorrow is Devil Dog Day. So why couldn't that be today?
Back to pretzels.
Pretzels is good. You like blueberry pie?
No.
Okay, well, that's pie. On the 28th. Yep. Shrimp scampi. How about shrimp scampi?
I'm allergic to shellfish.
Okay, that's a good one. National Zipper Day is on the 29th, just to let you all know. So,
all right.
And for all you animal lovers, the 30th is National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. We'll leave that one on there, but pretty much the rest suck. So, welcome to another wonderful, nutty Monday night on Shadows Radio.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And we all vote that Uncle Ben should get Aunt Kara a fifth cat.
Okay. That's Kara gets another cat.
It's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Even my kids said it was a true thing. So, you know, it's important when the kids chime in.
Yep. Absolutely. So.
Sorry, I was wiggling your knob.
You're doing what?
I was playing with the knob to make you louder.
Oh.
All right. Yes, so, tonight we're going to.
A lot.
So, what? Stop.
I didn't say anything about wiggling the knobs, but go ahead.
So through the years,
yes.
We have kind of kept a running list of cursed items, cursed stuffs throughout history. And so tonight we are going to add a few things to that anthology.
Okay.
Which is kind of fun. So
yeah,
it's always amusing.
And if you have any cursed items you think you do, add them into the chat room and we can talk about them also. Or you can talk to us and we can ignore it. Either way.
Yeah. We usually
yeah.
do. I was going to make a joke when I was posting this about how, you know, your computer's cursed or something because you always seem to have a problem with it. And then I realized, mm-hmm. I'm like, if I post that, then Eric's computer's going to blow up and I'm going to have to do this show by myself.
Yeah, true. Yep. But you see my cursed item I put on there. My son made me that. It's kind of freaky. But anyway.
Wait, what? What'd you put on where?
On the, when you put on the webpage about Bill having, you know, the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
Let's, Bill's cursed item, and I put it on there. This thing that my son made me in elementary school. And it's like, I keep it on my one shelf in the kitchen, but it's really creepy. It's like a creepy gnome slash wizard thing. I wish I could share that, but of course I don't know how.
You can just paste it into the chat room.
Yeah, you say that, and I'd be like here with my scotch tape trying to put it on the
computer.
There you
go.
Doesn't work,
you
know.
Scotch tape it to the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho.
So, anyway, I forget what I was going to say. This is going to be a night of I forget what I was going to say a lot.
Good.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I would like to apologize ahead of time. Because, yeah, it's going to happen.
Okay.
I just want to say that now. All right, okay. Hold on. I'm pasting it in for everybody to see your creepy note.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so, like, there's always things, everyone always talks about, like, oh, this is cursed, that's cursed, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
There's sometimes it's places, sometimes it's people, and all of these things kind of qualify for our cursed anthology here, so. Let's talk first about Jake and a drink of water.
It's cursed.
It is a cursed glass of water. The island of Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Are you familiar with the island of Hawaii? Have you been to Hawaii?
I have not.
Can you say Hawaii properly?
Do I do?
I don't know. Do you say Hawaii?
Hawaii.
Okay.
Okay.
People, it's funny because everyone always forgets that extra. They're like, Hawaii. I'm like, no.
Hawaii.
Yeah, so anyway.
Okay.
The entire island supposedly is under the protection of the goddess Pele, or Pele. So it's one of those things. So I'll read you the story first, and then we'll talk about kind of what she's kind of cursed people with.
Okay.
My life literally fell apart, one man said. A minute he was an employed, law-abiding citizen, and the next he was sitting in a federal penitentiary. He couldn't figure out what had happened. I'm assuming he broke the law.
Yeah.
FBI agents who questioned him said they never arrest people for what he did. They told him, you must have really upset someone. He had. Timothy Murray of Florida had gone to Hawaii to accept a new job. When the job fell through, he took a trip to Hawaii Volcano National Park on the Big Island. Like thousands before him, he was captivated by the black sand beaches and did what tourists often do. He took some of the black sand home as a souvenir.
Mm-mm.
Over the next 3 years, his life began to unravel. His beloved pet died. He and his fiance broke up. He began to drink too much. And finally, FBI agents who said they had been tracking him from Hawaii arrested him in a computer copyright infringement case.
Oh, geez.
I don't know what that means. Mr. Murray blames Pele, the goddess of volcanoes and fire, who is renowned for her violent temper. Legend has it that her home, Mount Kilauea, is one of the Earth's most active volcanoes, and Pele considers volcanic rocks, black sand, and pumice to be her children, and casts the weight of her wrath on those who remove stuff from the island.
Yep, I've heard that.
Yeah, and each year, postmasters at the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park and other local post offices receive thousands of pounds of mail, often addressed to Queen Pele. It comes from people all over the world who write that they've had bad luck or calamity since returning home with their Hawaiian treasure and want to return the offending item. They often ask for forgiveness and pray that once they send the item back, she will lift the curse and they can have their lives back. One postmaster who opens Pele's mail says much of what is sent back is not even from Hawaii. Once they receive what looked like slag from somebody's furnace, they've gotten ceramic tiki heads as well as bottles and containers filled with assorted wares and whatnots.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I've heard obviously about the curse of Pele.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're not supposed to take a rock from, you know,
the island, you know, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty nuts because, yeah, that's been throughout years.
There was a whole Brady Bunch episode about it, wasn't there?
Probably, yeah.
Something
I'm sure.
Like that, right?
Yeah.
But it's weird that people are sending back things that didn't come from the island. Like, what do you think? She's not going to notice that you sent back the wrong thing?
Yeah, right. Here's some slag. From my furnace. Please accept this because I already lost what I took.
Yeah, I took something I can't replace.
But I wonder if that guy's life got back in order after that, though. Makes you wonder.
Well, I want to know what computer copyright infringement is.
Computer, I don't know. Probably stole software from some other developer or something.
Infringement meaning. Hmm. Computer copyright infringement is when you reproduce, publicly display it, or make a derivative work without the permission of the copywriter. I knew that.
Yeah.
However, when you use it to make software or websites, that's when it is computer copyright infringement.
Hmm.
Got it. So let's see.
So don't do that.
Tim Murray copyright infringement. Let's see.
Man does not exist.
No, he's here.
He's real.
Yeah, no, he's a person. He was arrested. I like that he's from Florida, though. That makes it better.
Why?
Because it's always a Florida man.
Oh, Florida man.
Here's the article right here from LA Times. Timothy Murray had a college education, good job, relationships, and really good luck. He went to Hawaii in 1997. That's awesome. Yeah. I don't even know. I can't even.
Yeah. No follow-up report on that one.
I'm trying to scroll through it and read it while talking to you guys on the thing. So either you have to, chip in here, or you have to wait a second.
I have to wait because I don't understand. So.
Yeah, so let's see.
I just wanted to know if his life went down back to normal. But, I mean, the guy had he got arrested and put in a federal prison. Yeah.
No, it says he was cursed and he was charged and is serving his time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, for that? I mean, really? Seriously? Oh, well. Anyway.
So he says he mailed back the sand with a letter that said, "Please take this sand, place it back on your island. I've had very bad luck since this came to my life. I'm very sorry I took it. Please forgive me and I pray my bad luck will go away."
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's got a few years to think about it, I guess.
Dave Kell, who's the postmaster, says that he has a box that he keeps with recent Pele pacifying letters. However, the items that are not Hawaii,
right?
He keeps in his collection, which is like a black sandwich bag leaking small stones that appear to be from the Pacific Northwest. Black sand in a margarine tub, shells, rocks of all sizes, a small clay Mayan figure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, that would be from, like, South America.
Yeah, exactly. Every 3 months or so, his office takes a load to the park and dumps it back into the park environment.
Wow.
Yeah. Another local post office takes their stuff once a week and tosses it back into the sea. They actually use it... They use it as a drinking ritual. They toast a Pele with a cold beer.
Well, that's a good idea. I'd be into that.
Yeah.
I want that job. Send me to Hawaii to go drink cold beer and throw stuff in the ocean.
There you go. But you have to be the postmaster for the rest of the time.
No. It's not a big island.
Yeah. It's
anyway.
Larry Bell, the owner of a plumbing and heating company in Denver, considers himself a realist and doesn't believe in New Age mumbo jumbo. That's his quote, not mine. But he says he picked up a marble-sized piece of lava for a friend in Hawaii. In the 6 years since his trip, Bell's daughter has been plagued with serious health problems. His marriage was strained to the breaking point. He's been forced to relocate his business, and he unexpectedly needed heart surgery.
Yeah, so this is all because he picked up a lava rock.
Yeah, all because he picked up a lava rock for his friend. He says he went back to Hawaii... in January of 2001 with his two kids. And he said, I don't know, what do I do? Find a shaman, find someone to absolve me. No one really knows. There's nothing really to do. However, Pele practitioners leave flower leaves, food wrapped in tea leaves, and other offerings on the edge of volcanoes as respect.
Well, Crystal just texted me and said that story made her put back the volcanic rock because she was in Hawaii a few years ago. And then it says you're cursed if you take any part of her lava off the island.
Yep.
So, yep. Yep. So she put it back. I wonder how many people actually believe in that kind of thing.
If you've got postmasters who are literally carrying boxes of stuff every week to throw them into the ocean.
Yeah, better safe than sorry. I don't know. You can blame somebody.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I guess, if it happens enough times to enough people around the world, don't you think that there's a good chance that there's something going on?
Yeah, I would think it. And especially the, the culture of the island and the gods and everything. I mean, sure, why not? I don't know. If you want to blame somebody for your misfortunes in life.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with that. I feel like when you've got something like this where so many people are literally sending stuff back because they believe that they've, angered the gods or something's going on. Either there's a lot of people with some really shitty things happening in their life, or there's something to it.
Yeah. Well, if you leave there and you go there and you're all happy and everything is great and you go back and it turns to crap, I guess,
Yeah, and you just trace it back. You say, what have I done? Oh, I stole a rock. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I work, obviously at Fort Mifflin, as we've talked about in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that actually happened to us lately was that somebody actually mailed back rocks that they took from the parking lot.
Well, from the parking lot?
There was at one point we had some gravel because we had been digging a pit to put in some new pipe work. And one of the they had dug up what looked like pieces of brick.
Okay.
It was all, just kind of, dirt and rock and stuff. But it was weird because we got this package in the mail and you open it and it was please put this back. I'm sorry I took it. I want to know what happened, but the person didn't give a name or an address or anything. So there's no way to get back in touch with them. I want to know, did the ghost follow you home? Because that's plausible.
Yeah, or did you just feel bad because you thought you stole something that didn't belong to you, but it's dirt and rock? Well, it is hallowed ground, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And especially the parking lot, because that's the former cemetery.
I was going to ask where, many times I've been there myself, mm-hmm. I never did ask where the cemetery would have been.
Yeah, so originally the cemetery is where the parking lot is now. All the bodies were exhumed and moved.
Okay.
Because they did lay pipe work through there to build the new officers' mess hall, which is the current office building. So they were exhumed and moved out to Drexel Hill. But yeah, that was originally where they were, was in that cemetery. And it's believed that there's actually a few still behind the mess hall.
Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
In that kind of green space behind the mess hall before the fence. But I've never really dug real deep there.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know. I guess it's kind of obviously it's very prolific on the island because of, who Pele is.
Right.
But it happens at other places too. I wonder how many other historic sites or national parks with that kind of background get this kind of return.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Next one on our list.
Uh-huh. The frozen body of Otzi the Iceman.
Yes.
Otzi was discovered in
19... I dated an Iceman one time. He was cold and mean.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Stay away from him. Well, he was discovered in 1991 on the Otzi Alps of the Australian-Italian border, some 5,300 years after the Bronze Age man died, probably during an enemy attack, is what they're surmising. Rainer Henn, a forensic pathologist who examined Otzi, died in an auto accident 1 year later. Kurt Fritz, the guide who led Hen to Otzi's body, died in an avalanche shortly thereafter. Helmut Simon, who first discovered the body, died from a fall while hiking in 2004. Dieter Warnecki, if I said that right, who headed the rescue team looking for Simon's body, died of a heart attack just hours after Simon's funeral. Now, that all might seem like quite a series of coincidences, but given the hundreds of people who have been involved in the research on Otzi, the number of deaths is actually not unusual.
Well,
so,
I mean, if, go ahead. Before you jump into that, it's like, I mean, so you got four people, and all of them are pretty significant parts of the story. It's not like, you know, Susan, who works in the tech lab, who was taking blood samples, who passed away. No, this is like the guy that found him. The person who led to the guy that found, you know, like, I don't know. For me, I feel like the closeness of the person to the actual death makes it a little more significant than just, oh, yeah, seven people died. You know what I mean?
Right. And you hear that a lot with some of these expeditions where the head of the expedition, the leader, is the one suffering something. Yes, everybody's got to die eventually. But the significance of Well, it's like you could say, well, the guy who found Otzi's body died of old age 20 years later.
Well, that would be different. But these are all pretty significant, like, specific, you know, heart attacks and tragic kind of deaths, you know. Sudden
avalanches
ends.
And
falls and stuff. That's like we talked about. I think this might have been pre-you, but we talked about the Curse of King Tut.
Pre-you.
Yes.
Is that like the Bronze Age?
This is how this is how we define time here on the Shadows Radio. There's the original era, there's the pre-Bill era, and there's the after-Bill era.
Ah, it's going to be one of them, huh?
So we are currently in the...
current Bill era.
Well, no, you're it's after Bill, like as in after the time Bill started.
Oh, okay.
So right now we're currently in the ab era.
Okay.
After Bill.
Okay.
See, so if anybody ever says you got abs, you can say, yep. Every Monday.
Yeah, I got them. They're called flabs. Anyway. So, yeah.
What were we talking about?
Otzi. People died.
Yeah, so when we talked about King Tut, it was the same thing. We went through like 20 or 30 people who died. And someone's like, oh, well, you know, there was hundreds of people working on that. So,
right, thousands, yeah.
You know, so of course people are going to die tragically. It's like, but no, if you look at it, it was the guy that funded the investigation, the guy that actually opened the door to the tomb, the guy that actually exhumed the body, the first person to touch the body. Like, it was like all these very significant people rather than just, you know, John Smith who held the shovel, you know?
Yeah, right. Nope, I agree 100%.
So I think for me, the importance of the person actually doing the dying and what they did during the investigation carries more weight as a coincidence than, you know, if it was just, like I said, Susan over in the tech lab had a heart attack at some point, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. No, I got you. You know, I'm with you on that one.
Just my thought.
Huh?
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
All right, you'll do one more and then take a break?
Sure.
Good.
The Curse of Tippi Canoe. Did Native American leader Tecumseh curse William Henry Harrison after Harrison's troops emerged victorious at the Battle of Tippecanoe? Perhaps, as historians have noticed, that ever since Harrison became president in 1840, every person elected to the office in 20-year intervals has died while serving as president. Harrison died of pneumonia after just 1 month in office. Abraham Lincoln, elected in 1860, was assassinated, as were James A. Garfield, elected in 1880, and William McKinley in 1900. Both Warren G. Harding, 1920, and Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1940, died of natural causes in office, while John F. Kennedy, in 1960, was assassinated. Ronald Reagan, 1980, was the target of an assassination bullet in 81, but he survived. And the curse was apparently lifted after that because he did not die.
Damn.
Interesting.
It. Ronald Reagan ruins everything for everyone.
I know. What's up with that? You know? So, but that's interesting. I mean, that's kind of funny.
A lot of people look at these curses and go, it's all just coincidence. It's like, but it's too much coincidence?
Yeah, that's a lot. It's like every 20 years, you know? Weird.
Unless there's like an assassin's convention. Someone, they're like, all right, whose turn is it this 20 years?
Yep. The alarm went off. Okay. It's time. So 20 years, just say from Reagan, what would have been 20 years? That's math. I can't do that.
2000. So who's Bush?
Yeah.
It would have been Little Bush, yeah.
Yeah, Little Bush. Yeah, so it would have been Little Bush.
Well, he's still around, so, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but at that point we had 9/11, so I don't know if that counts, but anyway.
No, it counts. That's kind of significant. I would add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they tried to... Major. Well, yeah. One of the plane that went down in Pennsylvania, if I remember correctly, was supposed to be headed for the Capitol of the White House.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth.
So,
yeah.
I mean...
Foiled.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan broke the streak, but it didn't necessarily end the, you know...
Well, wouldn't that have been something?
And
wow.
Then 2021, or 2020 brought COVID, which tried to take out Donald Trump.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, so, you need to update your list.
Yeah. That's wild when you put it that way. It's like unsuccessful, but still, you know,
it's still marginally
whatever. Yeah. Major.
Yeah. So Ronald Reagan broke the streak by not dying.
Right.
But then now we have our 20-year failures.
Right. Bush could have died in the White House if the plane hit the White House. Just say.
Yeah. Like,
and then Trump could have died from COVID.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's weird. Yeah. So, that's kind of funky.
So, I guess it's not. I mean, you should update your notes, man. Get it all the way
up. Anywho.
So, all right, let's take a real quick break. You're listening to The Shadows Radio here on the Power X Radio Network. We'll be right back.
listening to Terra X.
Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Shadows Radio here on the Para-X Radio Network. I just threw a little bit of kind of jazzy circus music in there for you because we've been having a jazzy circus kind of night.
Nice.
Yeah, this is what happens when you put stuff in the queue and don't actually look at it.
Ah, gotcha. You're
like, oh, this is not our usual pick. All right.
Well, whatever.
It's all good. The song is called Look Busy, in case you were wondering.
Like to welcome to the chat room our intrigued guest.
Hey.
And somebody who's cooking supper. So, new names. Awesome. So, if you're out there listening in Para-X Radio Land, please chat now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ceiling Cat says, full moon in 2 hours. It is the
Isn't pink, it like a pink moon or something?
Yeah, the pink big moon or something. Somebody correct me. I know there's a name for it. It's pink something moon. I don't know. I just, if I have pink underwear on, I can moon you. I'd be like a pink moon. I don't know.
That was a terrible joke, and you should feel bad for saying it.
I do not.
You should
apologize for any of my misspellings and super pink super moon. Thank you, Ceiling Cat.
Wait, so you couldn't get super?
Super duper moon.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
On that note.
Anyway.
We shall continue our conversations about things.
Anyway.
Cursed and haunted.
Just to let you know, because you were making fun of my picture on the Shadows Facebook page.
Your ears were glowing.
Well, it wasn't actually on Shadows. I didn't share it to Shadows. I should share it to Shadows. Anyway, it's being liked by other fans of our show, so blah.
We have fans? Anyway,
we have one.
Oh, is it your Vicky. Mom?
She's on the show after us.
Is it your mom?
Yeah, it's probably my mom. Oh. Anyway, so where are we at on our list of cursed places? Or
well, right now we're going to head to a cursed city or a cursed sports team, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the Chicago Cubs.
So, all right.
In 1945, a man named Billy Goat Stiatus, was ejected from the Chicago Cubs game because he brought with him a pet goat, as one does. Oh. Like,
of course.
Why would you bring a goat to a baseball game? But okay. Someone in the chat room knows you in your pink underwear.
Just throw that out there
before we go too deep. Anyway. Outraged, Stiatus reportedly cursed the club with the words, quote, "The Cubs ain't going to win no more," end quote. Sure enough, the Cubs lost the next game and haven't won a World Series in more than a century, despite many attempts over the years to lift the curse, some of them involving goats. While most regard the curse as a silly superstition, many longtime fans take it very seriously. This April, police in Cook County, Illinois, found a decapitated goat next to a tree near a golf course. A few days later, an unknown man delivered a smelly box addressed to Tom Rickett, the current owner of the Cubs. Inside was the decaying goat's head.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I get it. The guy basically hexed the team.
Right.
But how does one undo the curse
bring
of
goats.
The goat?
Accept the goats. Let the goats in.
Yeah.
Team mascot, all that.
Yeah, so...
If you embrace the goat...
So the curse of the goat actually was broken in 2016.
Okay, how was that?
When they won the World Series.
Oh, okay.
Because
you see how much I follow baseball.
Yeah. So let's see. So if you want to kind of go a little deeper into this, it lasted 71 total years.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was broken when they defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-0 in Game 6 of the 2016 National League Championship Series to win the NL pennant. They then defeated the American League champion, the Indians, 8-7 in a 10-inning game to win the World Series, 108 years after their last win.
Holy crap.
Yeah. So the actual origin of the curse varies based on kind of, you know, obviously it's legend, so it varies a little bit.
Right.
The declaration supposedly either says that no World Series game would ever be played at Wrigley Field again, or originally, like I said, that the Cubs would never play in the World Series, making no specific venue. Stiatus' family claims that he dispatched a telegram to team owner Philip K. Wrigley, which read, "You are going to lose this World Series, and you're never going to win another World Series again. You're never going to win a World Series again because you insulted my goat."
That must have been bad.
Wow.
That's a good one. Come on.
So the pet goat's name is Murphy, and he was bothering other fans, so he was asked to leave during Game 4 of the 1945 World Series. Yeah, so there you go.
Okay.
I don't know. So do you want to hear some of the things that people blame on the goat?
Yeah.
All right, so other than the 45 series that they lost, on September 9th, 1969, at Shea Stadium, the Cubs played the New York Mets in a critical pennant race game, and a stray black cat walked between the Cubs captain, Ron Santo, who was on deck, and the Cubs dugout. The Mets would then pull ahead of the Cubs in the series and win both. So they blamed the black cat on the goat.
Oh, boy.
In 1984, the Cubs' first postseason appearance since 1945, so 39 years after the curse, was their first postseason appearance. They lost to the Padres. They were victorious in the first two games of a best-of-five series. However, in Game 5, Leon Durman, first baseman, let a ground ball get past his allegedly wet glove in the bottom of the seventh inning. So he made an error, so they're blaming that on the goat. Maybe the goat peed on it.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Billy Buckner played for the Cubs for 7 seasons before being traded to the Red Sox halfway through the 84 season. The Red Sox were, at the time, considered a cursed franchise. Also, isn't that the Babe Ruth curse?
Yeah. I kind of remember that one.
Maybe I got that one wrong. I don't know. Buckner and the Red Sox advanced to the 86 World Series against the Mets. And October 25th, 1986, in one of the most famous baseball errors of all time, Buckner allowed a ball to pass between his legs at first base, allowing the Mets to score the winning run in the 10th inning of Game 6. Later analysis of a photograph of Buckner walking off the field after his blooper shows that he had been wearing a Cubs batting glove under his fielding glove at the moment he committed his error. So they blame that on the goat.
Okay.
That's pretty funny. In 89, the Cubs won 93 games and faced the Giants in the NL Championship Series. After splitting the first 2 games, they headed to the Bay Area, where they just had a whole series of blunders that ultimately led to 3 straight losses in a row and then losing the series.
Well, that's what they get.
Yeah. In 1998, they lost. They were the wild card in 1998. Mm-hmm. However, they were swept in the National League Division Series by the Braves. In 2001, the Cubs led the wild card race by 2.5 games. However, a 3-run walk-off homer by Preston Wilson halted the team's momentum, and they lost.
Yeah. Lots of it.
Yeah, so 2003, 2004, they both lost their series as then, too. So they had made it to the series runs, and then they would get kind of smushed from there. They won their division in 2007 and 8, and then were swept at the end. And in 2015, they finished 2nd in the wild card race and defeated the Pirates. Oh, poor Pirates.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
People
have tried to break the curse a bunch of times. William Cianis himself attempted to lift the curse.
Yeah.
Sam Cianis, his nephew, went to Wrigley Field with a goat multiple times in an attempt to break the curse, including on opening day in 84 and 89, which both years the Cubs went on to win their division.
Hmm.
So maybe bringing the goat on opening day was a good thing.
See?
In 94, Sam Cianis won again with a goat to stop home losing streak, and in 1998 for the wild card tiebreaker, which the Cubs won. So having a goat in the stadium seems like a curse breaker
good.
For me.
That's a good idea. See?
Because every time you brought it, they did good. 2003, which coincidentally is the Chinese Zodiac's year of the goat.
Oh, wow.
A group of Cubs fans headed to Houston with a billy goat named Virgil Homer and attempted to gain entrance to Minute Maid Park, home of the Astros, which were the division rivals of the Cub at the time. They were denied entrance, so they unfurled a scroll, read a verse, and proclaimed they were reversing the curse. The Cubs won the division and then came within 5 outs of playing in the World Series.
Wow.
So... closer, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I brought 2 goats.
Yeah, should have unfurled a bigger scroll.
Yeah.
In February 2004, at the Harry Carey restaurant in downtown Chicago, a Bartman baseball was electrocuted in an attempt to break the curse, leaving nothing but a heap of string behind. I don't know why that would have broken the curse. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
Yeah. Anyway. Another bizarre twist is reported the butchered goat was hung from the Carey statue on October 3rd, 2007.
What?
Yeah.
A butchered goat was hung by the statue.
It was hung off the statue. Yeah.
And that's gonna help. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how that was supposed to help. In 2008, a Greek Orthodox priest sought to end the curse during the playoffs by spraying holy water around the dugout, but that did not work. April 1st, 2011, a social enterprise called Reverse the Curse, dedicated to bringing innovation to poverty by giving goats to family in need, was initiated. That's actually kind of cute. So they used the concept of the curse to bring goats to families in poverty who could use the, you know, milk, cheese, alternative income. That's nice.
Maybe the players just sucked.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Really, it just sounds like your players are terrible.
Yeah.
February 2012, a group of 5 Chicago Cubs fans calling themselves Crack the Curse set out on foot from Mesa, Arizona, to Wrigley Field. They brought along a goat named Wrigley, who they believed would be able to break the curse of the billy goat upon arrival at the field. Additionally, they attempted to raise $100,000 for cancer research.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, at least that had, like, a nice purpose to it. Let's crack the curse and raise some funds. All right, fine. This one, April 2013, a severed goat head was delivered to the Cubs in an effort to lift the curse. I don't know how that was supposed to lift the curse.
Yeah, just piss them off more. Jeez.
Here we go. On September 22nd, 2015, Patrick Bertolelli, Tim Bertolelli, Takiro Kobayashi, Kevin Strahl, and Bob Schaud consumed a 40-pound goat in 13 minutes and 22 seconds at Taco in a Bag in Chicago.
Nice.
Apparently that was supposed to break the curse.
That didn't help.
No. And then October 2016, the owners of the Chicago Diner, a local vegetarian eatery near Wrigley Field, teamed up with Farm Sanctuary to display posters in the windows of their location. The posters featured a goat named Peanut, who tried to urge Chicagoans to reverse the curse by going meat-free.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. However, the team did win the series in 2016 without any significant goat intervention.
Maybe they all drank goat's milk.
I was gonna say, if this was a big thing and they got all these goat situations, I would just have a pen off to the side with a goat in it.
Yeah.
Just have a team goat. Like, just go with the goat.
Well, you know, I mean, these sports fanatics, they believe in these curses majorly, along with the players, same socks, same underwear, same whatever they wear each game that they won. Don't bathe. I don't know. Don't shave your beard. Fear the beard.
Yeah, there's a lot of sports superstitions, but when it starts getting to the mailing severed goat heads and butchering goats and hanging them from statues, now you've gone a little too far.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
I would like to know why there's a restaurant called Taco in a Bag and why I've never been there. I think that's important.
Sounds like good times to me.
Yeah.
Taco in a Bag. I'll have to Google that one.
Taco in a Bag.
Yeah.
Super important. I don't know. All right. Yeah. So, what was I doing here?
I don't know. I think we got lost in the goats.
We did get a little goat distracted here.
Right. And we're running out of time.
Well, we are. So let's skip over the next one and go down to the kind of the shorter ones. We can do one or two of the shorter ones in the time we have left.
Okay.
You want to read the chair?
Well, we got the cursed money in 1972 during the family's visit.
Nope, that's still keep going.
What's that?
Those ones are about the one that we're skipping.
Oh, okay, then we won't go to that one.
Yeah, keep going to the chair.
Oh, yeah, we got the boat. Oh, man. the Busby Stoop Chair. English drunkard Thomas Busby sealed his fate when he murdered his father-in-law, Daniel Alty, in 1702. For his crimes, he was executed by hanging at a crossroads near a humble inn. But the story goes that it wasn't the end of Busby's killing. A chair that looked onto the site of the execution is believed to carry a curse. Whoever sits upon it will supposedly die from a frightful accident. Still, the chair lingered in the inn until 1978, where the owner gifted it to the Thirsk Museum, where it now resides high on a wall. There is no one where no one can fear sitting in it by accident. So basically, this chair that overlooked the execution was said to be anyone who sat in it will die. Whether or not anybody died, I don't know, but
I have questions.
Okay.
Why that chair? Was it the only chair facing the execution space?
They probably, only a couple of people came, they probably didn't have any goat's milk or donuts or anything for anybody, so.
They couldn't have any goats, they butchered them all in Chicago.
Right, so, why come? But,
is it supposed to be that his ghost is chilling in the chair and he's just gonna, shank you, or is it just a bad luck thing?
It's just probably a bad luck thing.
It's been hanging on a wall. I've seen a picture of it. It's actually up on a wall. It's like a legit rocking chair.
Oh,
so how many people do you think sat on it at the inn? and all the times it was there.
Yeah, not many people actually died. They had like a sign like,
don't sit there.
Yeah, that one's I call BS.
I know, it's called Busby, not BS.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, one more and then we're out of time.
Okay, how about, oh, this is a good one. James Dean's Little Bastard.
Yeah.
Little Bastard was, Dean called his silver Porsche 550 Spider, the car he died in following the accident in 1955. After that, the vehicle was purchased by hot rod designer George Barris, who planned to sell it for parts. The curse narrative was born when the car fell and crushed the mechanic's legs. As a part of the car sold, the curse was said to have spread. A doctor who bought the engine was killed in a car accident. Another victim who bought the transmission was severely injured in a crash. The tires sold from the car blew out simultaneously, sending their buyers to the hospital. While the shell of the car was being transported, the truck carrying it crashed, and the driver was killed. From there, the shell was stolen, and the curse of Little Bastard went quiet as its location became unknown. Now, I remember this fell in one of our other stories a good year ago, but I believe somebody found the car in storage, like hidden in storage, so nobody could...
Yeah.
Because George Barris died, and not because of the car, but I did hear all the different stories that went with this car, and yeah, it's kind of freaky.
Yeah, we've talked about this one a little more in depth previously, but yeah, I just, there's so many coincidences that go with it. I mean, first off, I don't know why you'd ever want to, like, I can understand wanting a piece of the car if you were like a kind of a macabre fan, but why you would actively put it into your car if you know that it came from a vehicle in an accident. Like, you work on cars, isn't that not safe?
Yeah. No, not really, but I mean, you got a piece of that's a historical car.
Yeah.
And the parts are very hard to find, and if you can find the engine from a 550 Spider and put it in a car that you are restoring to run that type of racing, you know, that nostalgia class Porsche racing.
Okay.
You want that motor. Whether or not they knew it came from James Dean's car, or if it was just, hey, I got a motor from a 550 Spider for sale. Or maybe somebody says, I got the motor from James Dean's car, I'm going to race it, you know?
I don't know. I just, if something came out of a car that got smashed up and killed someone, I think I would be concerned. Like,
yeah, you might not want that stigma to it, you know?
Well, not even that stigma. Like, didn't something had to have happened to that? Like, I mean, I'm not super great with cars, but I mean, generally in an accident, I mean, bad enough to kill someone, right? Like,
no, there's plenty of salvageable parts depending on the crash. I mean, but yeah, I don't know. Who knows?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it's probably a super rare car. It probably cost a pretty penny because, I mean, James Dean was, you know, at the height of his career at the time.
Yeah.
So.
But it is weird all the things that went along with it after that that make you think, like, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't have bought that.
Yeah, that was a poor choice.
Yeah.
But on that note, please don't buy any cursed items. If you do, do not send them to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No goat's heads, please.
Yes, please, no goat's head. Bill's a vegetarian.
But, yeah.
But we're out of time. We got to hang up the mic. So, as always, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Bill.
And we'll see you in the shadows.
Most secret bases are located. Do you know what spooky action at a distance means? Is there a conspiracy by aliens to prevent us from conquering space? And where is the best place in the United States to see a real UFO?
Find the answers to all these questions and more in Mac Maloney's new book, Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe. Visit places you never knew existed, the Hampton Tunnels of Tokyo, the UFO Trail in South America, Ong's Hat, and the very mysterious M Triangle. Mac Maloney Haunted Universe contains hundreds of reports on ghosts, haunted planes and ships, weird celebrity deaths, mysterious sounds, and a breakdown of every monster in America, state by state. You've heard him talk about it on the radio. Now get all of Mac's paranormal research in one large volume. Mac Maloney's Haunted Universe, with a foreword by the very famous Juan Juan. On sale now in your local bookstore or on Amazon.com.
Barry McGuire here, inviting you to come along with Marla Brooks and let's start stirring the cauldron together on Para X.
Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks, Thursdays at 9 o'clock on Para X.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky...